Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our continued coverage of CUNA's 2021 GAC, their virtual conference this year. And our coverage is brought to you by our friends at Co-op Financial Services. Their logo is right back there, so we appreciate their support as always. But in this clip, we feature Ty Muse. He's president and CEO of Visions Federal Credit Union. He was actually included in Jim Nussle's keynote this morning, and Ty talks about all the cool things that he and his credit union have done over the years to kind of really kind of go lockstep with the financial well-being for all theme of this year's GAC. And he calls it, I'm on my other screen here, sharing the good. But he has some really creative ideas to really go above and beyond the call of duty and getting his credit union out in the community and doing some good for members out there. So check it out.
So hi, everyone. I'm Ty Muse, president and CEO of Visions Federal Credit Union, or $5 billion credit union in upstate New York. And it, for me, it was a pleasure just to be able to share what we're kind of doing in financial wellness. So with that said, let's start getting into it. And the title here is Sharing the Good. I think that's where we're at. So my aha moment basically happened as I decided to play an undercover grocery bagger in a grocery store. Obviously, as a 6'4" black man, I couldn't pretend I was someone that the credit union wouldn't recognize with my own staff. So we decided to go in the neighborhood and I pretended to be a grocery bagger. The whole point was just to have fun with people, to kind of have me kind of tease with them and play with them, and then ultimately surprise them by paying for their groceries. So for me, you know, after the first or second person, I think it's going really, really well. And by the third person that we're getting ready to do and record, as we're basically pretending that I'm bagging, and I see my head of marketing and one of the people in my ad agency walk up. They're both, you know, blurry-eyed, puffy-eyed, red-eyed. And I'm looking at him thinking, wow, this is going horribly wrong right now. What is going on? Do we want to call Audible? Do we want to do something different? And they're both like, no, just keep doing what you're doing. We're doing good. And I just remember that resonated. We're doing good. I thought it was a really interesting thing to say at the time. So we kept going through it and we kept, you know, asking them questions as I kind of played with them. And I would surprise them by paying for their groceries. It could be $8. It could be $250. But what really resonated with me was just how much money really mattered to them. Like how much the thought of money and what they're going to spend, that struggle really stuck with them, even if it was the $8 person. And we started saying, you know, money matters to people and people matter to us. In that video, we're not sure how that started, but we started to see there were some really amazing stories of things that they were working on and things they were trying to do to help people. So with that said, we were like, okay, there's something here. We didn't know what it was. The video went viral. We were trying to tap into what this was. And what this was really financial well-being. You know, one of the individuals told us that when we bought their groceries for $8, that was the last $10 they had. It would provide them opportunity. Now they didn't have to worry about dinner, which means they can now focus on tomorrow. It's those little things that you don't think about. So it became abundantly clear to me that we have to find a way to make this a conversation. Somehow getting people talking about it. So I reached out to a friend of mine, a guy named Jay Williams. He played at Duke and he was working on his own content. And I was sharing, you know, I have all this great content, but I'm having problems with getting people to hear and listen. And he was a person who had a lot of visibility, and I thought perhaps we could partner and find a way to get this conversation going. So we thought, hey, let's sit down in my barbershop. Yes, Rico, that's the name of my barber. And we decided to both work on our baldy haircuts because neither of us have a ton of hair. But while we're sitting there, we just had a conversation. And we talked about, like, why don't people talk about money? Why? When did you start learning about money? Did your parents talk to you about money? Why do you think that is? What are you saving for? What is success and what does financial success look like? So we're thinking like there's got to be a better way to create this dialogue, some way we can more formalize it and keep diving into it. And how we create a forum where people will just have this conversation. Because one thing Jay said, like, you know, your parents don't talk to you about money. And we try to get to the crux of that. You know, perhaps it's because they're not confident with money. No matter what you're doing and what you're saving, you never feel like it's adequate. So we tried this new theme. Like we were already in two high schools and we decided, you know what, we're going to double down. Actually, we're going to really quadruple down. We're going to significantly increase our presence in the high schools and maybe start getting this conversation going earlier. So they decided to send me back to school. Yes, that is Ty sitting there sleepily in the back of the room as usual. But it was really a fun day just to talk to them and talking to the students about what mattered to them about money. What did they know about money? What questions did they have about money? And what could we do to kind of share this conversation more? So Harpersville High School is a little bit more of a rural school. And we also decided, hey, we have this new partnership in a growing area, Reading High School, which is just north of Philadelphia, about an hour drive. And with that said, Reading High School is one of the largest schools in America. So they have a totally different challenge than Harpersville. Yet we found the same conversation happen. They knew nothing really about how to save. Their parents didn't talk about it. And then we came up with this next issue or challenge that we saw was that their parents really needed advice on financial literacy. So the kids were like, basically, the things you can help me with. One, can you show me, give me a job that has an intern that's paid? So we started working on that. The next thing was, can you provide education and educational tools and reward me for learning about things? Okay, that's great. And then three, can you talk to my mom or dad about this as well? Because one of my greatest struggles are, you know, every year we're moving to a different apartment, or I'm, you know, couch surfing, or I'm worried about food, or I'm worried about dinner, I'm worried about lunch. And it's hard to think about education in that manner, let alone financial education. And then finally, we just got back to basics. You know, I thought perhaps if we had a conversation even at a younger age, I actually interviewed several of our employees' kids, and we used this video as well, where we asked them questions about money. And, you know, maybe because they were employees' kids, they had a little bit better knowledge than most. But some of the questions were just as simple as, like, what do you want to buy for a house? And how much will your house be? And how big will your house be? I believe one of them actually said their house would have 35 rooms. I tried to share with her that would be technically called a hotel. You know, others thought they could get a car for $20. Some thought they can get a car for $20,000. So it was a fun conversation, but it really got back to the basics of just saying, maybe if we can start this conversation a little bit earlier, maybe if I can give them content so that parents can just start talking to their kids about money, maybe that will give them, you know, something to leap off of. But that's really not enough. I'm only getting into like 8 to 10 schools. I have to find a way to reach more. So we decided to partner with an app called Zogo, where we're actually gamifying financial literacy. And they were able to create some templates specifically for Visions, where we've been providing this to students in the high schools. I can't wait to get back into the schools where we could really load this up. But I believe we have over 1,500 users now on it. We have some adults who like to play and compete and post who's beating each other. But I think there's more that we can do. And what is that more? We got to get a little bit more scientific about this. You know, as you heard Gigi mention earlier, you got to get into the data. You have to get into what the numbers are saying. And for us, you know, we decided to focus on two tranches, two separate pools of 5,000 members, reaching out to 10,000 members in total. With COVID, we had a little bit more downtime for our branches and our branch staff to do some of this outbound calling. But we picked some people with credit scores that were opportunistic that we thought we could help them with. You know, we also realized that, you know, we need to roll financial services, investment advisors out to everyone, Main Street investors. So the teachers and the educators, they have people they can talk to about money, help them save and help save for their dreams. You know, what we said here is a mantra that, you know, we wanted to leave COVID better than we went into it. And we want our members to do that as well. So how are you going to do that? You know, we felt that somehow you have to get this message out where you're kind of tying it back to our purpose. You know, our purpose is people helping people. We really wanted to go out there and find a way to help our members be in a better situation. But I'll be honest with you, we didn't hit all the home runs. You know, first thing, taking that bottom trench of 10,000 members, those credit scores are pretty low. And we weren't necessarily rate or put them in a better position, but or even be able to reach them because, you know, on some level, they're ducking the call, right? You know, they've learned to avoid the call. A call from the financial investor or advisor or connection may not be a good call if they think we owe them money or they owe us money. So we were trying to figure out better ways to work with that. Maybe there's different tranches you should look at. Maybe there's real specific things on credit score that you can see as a quick win or hit to help them. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to the story. And hopefully one day you get this story. And what I got is a letter here, an email just last week from one of my branch managers. And she basically says, Ty, I thought you'd appreciate this. Hopefully this makes your day. December 23rd, I met with a member. Her credit score was 509. She had some issues with some charge-offs and not paying and being in collections. She effectively had $16,000 in her account and didn't know what to do with it. I sat down with her. I gave her some advice. She actually followed the advice. And then as of last week, this is when the email came in, her credit score is now 659. She's pre-qualified for a home. And I heard her husband was so happy, he started to dance in the room. To be honest with you, I'm dancing with them too. That's the story. Telling that story to your staff, don't you think that's going to motivate them? Don't you think that's going to galvanize them? Don't you think that's going to make them feel like there's something that's way more important? So finally, what's next? What's next? Keep the dialogue going. Find ways and content to create and share in a manner that'll get them talking, will get them listening. You can't come right at them with your credit's bad. They know their credit's bad. But maybe if you can show them how you're working with maybe three families to improve their credit, maybe one or two or three of those things they can borrow and then use and hopefully get to a better situation. So again, I think this is a great forum. I'm going to try to use these ideas that I've heard to bring it back here in my credit union. But I just think you really picked something special, CUNA, to work on. So with that said, I'm going to pass this over to Jim, and thanks for the opportunity to share what we're doing here at Visions.
Thank you very much, Ty, and appreciate all the really cool things that you guys do there at Visions Federal Credit Union. And stay tuned for more coverage of CUNA's GAC here on CU Broadcast.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union
and Co-op Financial Services.